from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on a trade deadline Tuesday. The Major League Baseball trade deadline is today at 5 o'clock Central. If there is any breaking news, Josh Vernier is going to pop on. If not, he will join us at 5:15. Aaron Ladd of KSHB 41 News is going to be on the show coming up in about 30 minutes. We'll go through some of the top storylines in sports. If you just missed it, the United States women's gymnastics team won the team gold medal. Simone Biles is the oldest gymnast to win a gold medal since 1964. Congratulations to her. Congratulations to the rest of the United States women's gymnastics teams as they take home the gold in Paris. We got a lot to get into over the course of the next 4 hours coming up in a bit. We'll talk about Bobby Witt Jr., who continues to dazzle and is one of the greatest players in the game of baseball. But before we do any of that,
pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. 913-586-7610. Call number 6 gets a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. They have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wines. So whether in the mood for a whole pie or maybe just a slice or two, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, TASCIO.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best baseball in Kansas City and you also are excited about the Olympics, the best place to do that is right here with us at 610 Sports Radio. I would like to share with you guys a list from the very beginning of the season. You guys know that ESPN.com, like any website, loves a list and some good arguing back and forth. The headline was ranking baseball's top 100 players. So they got all of their analysts at ESPN to rank the top 100 players. This list came out on March 11th of this year. So not that long ago, we are talking 4 months ago, we had this list. On this list, Bobby Witt Jr. was the 16th ranked player on this list. Let me read to you the little blurb. Bobby Witt's first half in 2023 was fine. It still left Royals fans wondering whether their ballyhooed shortstop would morph into the superstar they had been told was coming. And it turns out they only had to wait till the All-Star break, after which Bobby Witt Jr. became one of baseball's best players. It then goes on to talk about the second half of the season that we saw from him last year, and that if he did that over a full 162 games, that would extrapolate out to 41 homers, 130 RBIs, 133 runs, and 61 stolen bases. I think all of us would take that. What we have seen Bobby Witt Jr. do is continue what he did in the second half, and he has carried that over into a full season with the Kansas City Royals. It is hard to pinpoint the exact switch and when it was flipped with Bobby Witt Jr., but right now we are witnessing one of the best things that you can potentially witness in sport. It is when potential morphs into production. We talk about guys' ceilings. We give player comparisons. This guy could be this player, or this player could be that player. We do that all day in this business. One of the greatest things to watch is when you give that ceiling for a player and you watch over time, you be correct and that player turn out to be that. Where today, if you wanted to make a list, let's say you wanted to revise this list 4, 5, 6 months later, Bobby Witt Jr. could arguably be the number one player on that list in a league that has some incredible baseball players. Shohei Ohtani, who was one of the best baseball players that we have ever seen. You think of Freddie Freeman, Mookie Betts, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Ronald Acuna. We could think of some of the greatest players in baseball. You have the opportunity at Kauffman Stadium when you purchase a ticket to watch the best player in the game. And when you think about over the course of our lifetime, some of the people that we have got to see wear that championship belt. We've seen Ken Griffey Jr. wear it. We've seen Barry Bonds wear it before. You think of the guys that we have been able to say, you are the best player in baseball. We're talking about Alex Rodriguez. We are talking about some of the greatest baseball players that you have ever seen. One of those guys currently plays for the Kansas City Royals. And you know you're good when the other team's announcers have to tip their cap.
Look, I know that there's a guy in Los Angeles signed for $700 million. And there's no doubt that Ohtani is a wonderful player. I'd rather have Bobby Witt Jr. than Ohtani? Yes. And the reason is
number one,
because you've got yourself a shortstop, which is a man in the middle of just about everything. You have a guy that hits just about maybe just as well as Ohtani. He doesn't have the power of Ohtani, no doubt about it. Obviously, he's not going to pitch. But this guy is going to play every day for you, and he's going to play in the field at a critical position. You try to win anything in this game without a shortstop, you're not going to win. So, it's 6-1, half dozen of the other. A lot of people would say that Ohtani's bat and the fact that he can pitch would put him above. For me, I want that guy because I've never seen, in all the time I've seen that guy right there, he has never dogged one step, never, anywhere. And that play he just made from shortstop, there's not many guys in baseball anywhere that could make that play.
That is the White Sox broadcast from yesterday. If I had to give the answer, I also would say that Shohei Ohtani is the best player in baseball. But we have reached a point, and you just heard it from the White Sox broadcaster, when he makes the argument of why Bobby Witt Jr. is the best player in baseball, it made a whole lot of sense to me. Where maybe your answer is Aaron Judge. Maybe your answer is Juan Soto. There's a lot of great players in this league. You got a guy that is standing right there alongside of them, and you don't have to play second fiddle to any of them. The American League Cy Young conversation is down to three people. It's down to Aaron Judge, Gunnar Henderson from the Orioles, and Bobby Witt Jr. And this isn't like a pat on the head, ha-ha, you're having a great season. No, you are one of the five best, maybe number one player in baseball. And when somebody like George Brett comes on this show yesterday and says this about you, we're talking about a guy who had the fifth highest votes that anybody has ever had on their first ballot to be inducted to the Pro Baseball Hall of Fame. If you were creating the all baseball team, where I'm talking center field, left field, right field, like you were making the all-pro of all-pro baseball teams, George Brett could possibly be at third base. He is one of the greatest baseball players that we have ever seen. When people like this talk about you, you know you're different.
I'm amazed every time I go to the ballpark. And, you know, we had Bo Jackson weekend about 3 weeks ago, and I made a comment. I never missed one of his at-bats. Well, I never miss one of Bobby's at-bats either. You know, I go to a lot of the games. Sometimes I leave early. But if Bobby Witt's coming up to bat in the bottom of the eighth inning in Kauffman Stadium, I'll stick around at least to watch him hit. He's an amazing athlete. He plays baseball, I think, the way I did. He runs everything out. He's always thinking about the next base. Obviously, I think he's a lot more talented than I am because of his speed and his arm, his accuracy, and the things that he can do, the power at such an early age. I didn't develop power till I was about 25, 26, but he's got power at 23. He had power last year at 22. But he's, in my opinion, one of the best players in baseball.
Sometimes I think we need to sit back and realize how fortunate we are, just as people that love sports, that you get the opportunity to buy a ticket to go watch the best football player in the world and maybe the best football player that we have ever seen. And I think we can say this at this point about Bobby Witt Jr. If he continues the path that he is on and injuries are not an issue, you are seeing somebody who is a no-doubt first-ballot Hall of Famer. You are watching somebody that we throw out the conversation. We throw out the conversation about five-tool players and, hey, this guy's got all the tools. I don't know what the weakness is for Bobby Witt Jr. I don't know what the flaw is with his game, at least not what we've seen. We've been sold a bunch about certain guys being superstars. I think to the conversation about Eric Hosmer and Carlos Beltran, and those guys were great baseball players in their own right. Bobby Witt Jr. is not just a great baseball player. He is an all-time baseball player. There is a difference. There is a difference in being a great player and an all-time player. And that's what we are talking about with Bobby Witt Jr. He currently leads the league in hits. He has 30 doubles. He has 10 triples. He has 19 home runs, 75 RBIs, 23 stolen bases. He is hitting .347 right now with an almost .400 on base percentage. These are video game numbers, and he is doing this at 24 years old. This is what greatness looks like, and you got the opportunity to see this every night at Kauffman Stadium or if you purchase the Bally's app. Coming up on the other side, speaking of greatness, we'll talk about two MVPs in the NFL. We'll talk about Patrick Mahomes, and we'll also talk about Aaron Rodgers. That's coming up. Keep it right here, so drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the show. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll be joined by Aaron Ladd of KSHB 41 News. Let's talk a little bit about the quarterbacks. Let's start with Aaron Rodgers. You guys remember him. He plays for the New York Jets. I mean, I guess you could say that. He didn't play last year. We are hopeful that he plays this year for the New York Jets. Here is the coach, Robert Saleh. He said that Aaron Rodgers is not going to play the first two games of the preseason.
We haven't really talked about it. My instinct right now as I stand here is we'll see. My instinct is no, but I want to leave it open that that third game is the one where we're deciding. So he definitely won't play the first two, but the discussion on the third one, we just haven't quite had yet.
I believe that Aaron Rodgers is currently the biggest story in the National Football League. There was so much hype and buzz and anticipation around last season. The Jets were on Hard Knocks. They made some moves. There was a lot of hope centered around Aaron Rodgers and the New York Jets. We all were tuned in September 11th in New York, Jets and Bills, an important game in the division. We got four snaps of Aaron Rodgers last year, tears his Achilles. You know what happens at the quarterback position for them. We get a lot of Zach Wilson. The Jets don't go anywhere. Aaron Rodgers is back. I think today Aaron Rodgers is the number one story in the NFL and the number one story leading into the season. There are some other stories, and I'll tell you what I think is the second biggest story. We'll see what happens with CeeDee Lamb. We'll see what happens with Dak Prescott. We've seen a couple of contracts already get signed in the league. Tua signed a new deal. Jordan Love just signed a new deal. There are obviously other storylines in the league. Rob, I believe the number one storyline, the biggest storyline as we are heading into the season, centers around the New York Jets. We still have so many unanswered questions about the Jets and what they look like with Rodgers. The other pieces are still there. You still have a top running back in Breece Hall. You got one of the better young receivers in Garrett Wilson. The defense is still there. The same offensive line questions. It is basically like we have just pressed a pause on Aaron Rodgers. He is now a year older, and he is coming off a significant injury. But however you felt about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets coming into the 2023 season, shouldn't you feel that way about them coming into the 2024 season? Not much has really changed in New York.
I would agree, but I think there is a change. He's now coming off injury, and the way we view Aaron Rodgers is different. Like, me and you were not sold on the Jets last year. I remember we both were like, I don't know. There just was a lot of question marks. Aaron Rodgers off an Achilles injury and a year older is not going to be just right as rain. He's not going to be some spring chicken. Here we go. If you're the type of person that has questions about Kirk Cousins being coming back from injury in Atlanta, those same questions have to exist in New York. So it's a lot of the same things, but I would say quarterback has become a question in New York because you don't know how quickly he can bounce back. And now for a guy that was flirting with the idea of, or at least the prospect of, or was hinting at on Pat McAfee's show that he could be back at some point last year and he was this medical marvel and all this. For a guy who was saying those things in December, November, January, the fact that he's not going to be on the football field in August only raises those questions to another level. So they are the same as last year, except for there's a new question, and it's the biggest question because Aaron Rodgers' health is a big deal.
I would say every year there is a couple of teams that convince themselves they are just a quarterback away, that if they can get this one position right, that everything will be all right. We know who those two teams are this year. One of the teams is the exact same as they were last year, the New York Jets. You traded for this player. You have yet to see this player. Let's see how much of a difference Aaron Rodgers can potentially make for them. And the other team is Atlanta. You don't spend that kind of guaranteed money on that quarterback with the weapons that you have invested and drafted if you're not hopeful that you can be a dangerous dark horse sleeper candidate in the NFC. So obviously, Aaron Rodgers is a much bigger story, bigger headline than Kirk Cousins, but both teams feel like they are in very similar spots. Now, I would say Atlanta is in a better spot, even though they have a worse quarterback. Atlanta's in a better spot because there is no clear-cut team in their division. The Jets have a clear-cut team in their division. Buffalo, they have another team that made the postseason last year in their division, in the Miami Dolphins. Atlanta doesn't have to navigate that. Now, you have a team in Tampa Bay that made the postseason, but no one looks at them like they're some juggernaut kind of team. The Saints appear to be in flux, and Carolina was the worst team in the league. So if you're asking me just the toss-up question, who are you more optimistic about going into the season, the Jets or the Falcons, because the two feel like they are in very similar spots? I think the answer has to be Atlanta heading into this year.
Isn't there a third team in the we feel like we're a quarterback away camp? Are the Steelers in this camp? Because I think of the teams that made veteran quarterback moves, and veteran quarterback moves in the NFL, Carrington, usually make you think we're a quarterback away. Think about how the Broncos operated when they added Russell Wilson. Think about how the Jets operated when they added Aaron Rodgers. To your point, how the Falcons operated when they added Kirk Cousins. The Rams, when they had a Matt Stafford. Historically speaking, when a team feels like we are a quarterback away, they tend to go get the headline name on the free agent or trade market. That's their path. It wasn't the headline name, but didn't the Steelers try two different, attempts at that this offseason? They have Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Don't they fall in the quarterback away category?
Yeah, I just think it's very different, at least in the comparison to somebody like Matthew Stafford. I mean, Russell Wilson was not traded for. Russell Wilson was released by a team, and the Steelers were able to get him on a one-year veteran contract. Now, some of that is because he's making so much from getting released from the Broncos, but I mean, Russell Wilson right now was on a one-year $1.21 million. You are not in the same category of Atlanta, in my opinion, with the resources that they have spent on quarterback. And for all the conversation that we had about Justin Field, and you remember, at one point, that was the top story in the league about what the Bears were going to do at the quarterback position. He got traded for not a sixth-round pick in last year's or this year's NFL draft. He got traded for a 2025 sixth-round pick. The Steelers have done the bare minimum that you can do in terms of quarterback upgrades and improvements. Where the Jets went out there and spent a second-round pick, Atlanta went out and spent $100 million guaranteed. That is not what the Steelers have done at the quarterback position. So at least for me, that's why I think the conversation is a little bit changed. Let's talk about the storyline that I think is the second biggest storyline in the NFL. So I would put Rodgers at number one. I think Rodgers, his health, what does that mean for the AFC? What does that mean for the New York Jets? I think that's the number one story in the National Football League. I think the second biggest story is Kansas City. I think the second biggest story is, can the Chiefs do it? And maybe we always feel a way about this team that is the two-time defending Super Bowl champion. Maybe this is not unique to Kansas City and unique to the Chiefs. But this feels like maybe the best chance that we might have in our lifetime of seeing a team win three championships in a row. I think you could argue with Kansas City that at every place other than corner, they are either equal to or better than they were last season. They're obviously not better at quarterback, but you think they'll get better quarterback play because of the weapons. They're the same at running back. You look at the wide receiver room, drastically improved from where you were last season. Offensive line, we'll see if you're better or worse. But I would at least say right now, you have to say that you are the same for the most part. You look at that D line, you look at that linebacker room, you look at the safeties. this team is virtually the same as a team that won the Super Bowl last year, and you feel like they got stronger in some of their weaknesses. Now, we'll see how they we'll see how they replace Legarius Sneed. We'll see what happens with Willie Gay Jr. There's questions that the Chiefs have to answer over the course of the season. But going into a year, it's really hard to argue somebody else right now in the AFC. What's the argument for Cincinnati? What's the argument for Baltimore? What's the argument for Buffalo or Houston or one of these teams? Not saying they're not good teams. Maybe they end up winning the AFC. We have to see how the 19, 20 weeks play itself out until we get to that point. But if you look at Kansas City, you look at their roster, their quarterback, their head coach, their pedigree, it is really, really difficult to pick somebody else. I think the top two stories in the league are one, Aaron Rodgers, and I think the second one is Kansas City, and can they do it? And are they going to be the team that for the third consecutive year wins the Super Bowl and becomes the first team in league history to do so? And I've said this before, if Patrick Mahomes wants a claim on being the best, he is probably going to need to put that on his resume. If you think Mahomes is better than Brady, I can't argue that. You're entitled to feel how you feel. But it is going to be difficult, I think, at the end of his career to argue, well, Brady beat Mahomes in a Super Bowl. Brady also beat Mahomes in an AFC championship game in Mahomes' house. It's going to be really difficult to convince somebody that Patrick Mahomes is better than that guy when Mahomes was entering his prime and Brady was on the way out. It's just going to be difficult to argue that, I think. But if you're Patrick Mahomes, and let's say you end this thing with 5 or 6, but you have a three-peat attached to your name, and you also have every individual stat that I think Mahomes could have. He could have most yards. He could have most touchdown passes. He could have most playoff wins. There's a lot of superlatives that Patrick Mahomes is going to be able to knock out over the course of the next decade and trying to get this thing right. I mean, that's the argument to you being the greatest quarterback of all time. It starts with, we can restart these conversations if they win the Super Bowl this year. You remember, people were starting to have them leading into the Tampa Bay Super Bowl. They just got their doors blown off, and people ended that conversation, and they moved on to something else. Those are the top two storylines I believe there are currently in the NFL.
Do you think there's a third? Because I agree with you, that's 1-2. I think it's pretty obviously 1-2. If you wanted to have Chiefs at 1 because of their dominance over the NFL and Rodgers at 2 because he didn't play last year, okay. I wouldn't fight either one anyway. But I think in the same sphere, in the same era of these two storylines is the Dallas Cowboys. And maybe that's just me falling victim to how the Cowboys are viewed on a national level because they are the national brand in football. But there's a lot of turmoil, a lot of question about the future of the Cowboys with their quarterback, with their wide receiver. They had one of the most lame off seasons you can ever have, coming off a season where they were one of the best teams in the NFC. Isn't what happens in 2024 at the Cowboys, just because of all the stuff leading around it, one of the biggest storylines? Like, when you're doing your SiriusXM show, I'm betting this NFL season the Cowboys come up just as often as the Chiefs or Aaron Rodgers, just because of all the things that led into this season.
Yeah, I would maybe say at least number three heading into the year, and this obviously can go away, is there's still a handful of contracts that we're waiting to get signed, and the Cowboys are obviously in that conversation about Dak Prescott. What do you do with Dak? What do you do with CeeDee Lamb? You look at the San Francisco 49ers. Do you extend Brandon Ayuk? What happens with Trent Williams? So I would probably put that as third, maybe just not Cowboys-centric, but just NFL as a whole. Like, this is, it's not only training camp time, it's holdout season. Like, there is one more wave of contracts that happened. We just saw it start with quarterback. And you remember last year heading into the season, Bosa got a deal done. TJ Hawkinson got a deal done right before the start of the season. Chris Jones' contract situation cleared itself up as we headed into the start of the season. So that's how I would rank it as of right now. Number one is Rodgers. Number two is Kansas City and the likelihood of them winning 3 straight Super Bowls. And then number three is just, hey, there's just a lot of contract uncertainty right now in the league. Some guys are going to get extended. Some guys are going to get told no. And then we'll start the season, and then we'll just reset the odometer, and we'll just find new quarterback storylines and new NFL storylines as we head into the season. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Aaron Ladd of KSHB 41 News. That's coming up. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. We are expecting Aaron Ladd to join us in studio here coming up in about 5 minutes, running a little bit late today. He had to do something out at Arrowhead. It's all good. We will figure it out in the meantime. We started today's show talking about Bobby Witt Jr., who yesterday just, he won the Royals the game yesterday. I mean, it's really that simple. You don't have to explain it any differently. The Royals were probably going to lose yesterday, and then one of the best baseball players in the game stepped up and hit a home run.
And here's Bobby Witt Jr., first pitch. Fastball lifted, deep to left field. Benintendi back, on the track, it's out of here! Bobby Witt Jr. delivers a go-ahead grand slam! The Royals take the lead in the top of the eighth! It is 8-5! Nobody is hotter than Bobby Witt Jr. is right now! His fourth hit of the game!
Bobby Witt Jr., I mean, really since the All-Star break, you could probably pinpoint it a little bit before the All-Star break. I mean, he has just turned into, I mean, right now, as of today, he is the best baseball player in the world. Now, that could change. But today, right now, if you were drafting a team, there is not somebody that you would take over him the way that he is defensively, the speed that he is giving you, and with the way that he's swinging the bat right now. It has been absolutely devastating to watch over the last 3-4 weeks that he is just, he is locked into a zone. Do you guys remember that scene on White Men Can't Jump when Billy Hoyle was talking about the zone and how he was in the zone? I mean, that's what you're seeing right now from Bobby Witt Jr. He is in the zone. He has been absolutely amazing. I want to play for you guys. We asked a former major league player, Rex Hudler, who played on the same team as Ozzie Smith. We asked him, hey, who does he remind you of? Listen to what Rex Hudler had to say about Bobby Witt Jr. Listen to this.
The Jr. has a combination of bonds, and he doesn't have that. Ozzie Smith had a ballerina-type skill out there, and he was a little more artsy. He was a little more creative. Junior just makes the plays he's supposed to, and then those plays going back over his head and down the line is elite. I've never seen a shortstop attack the ball in back of him or down the lines like Junior does. But Ozzie Smith is a great comparable to Junior, and certainly it would be a compliment to Ozzie, but really Junior.
That was Rex Hudler talking about Bobby Witt Jr. You know what? In the course of me playing that, I missed this. The Royals have some.
First to breaking news in Kansas City Sports Radio.
This is from Jeff Passan of ESPN. The Royals acquire Lucas, is it Urseg? Is that how you pronounce this man's last name? Lucas Urseg. He is from the Oakland Athletics. Quote, more power in the back end of the bullpen. Urseg averages almost 99 miles an hour. He is not a free agent until 2030. So, I mean, the Royals continue to do what they said they were going to do. Club control was really important for this team, and they obviously needed back-end bullpen help. We're talking about a guy right now who I'm trying to do this quick Google right here. He is 29 years old. He has pitched 2 years in the majors. He's been really good in the 2 years that he's been in Major League Baseball. He is a relief pitcher so far this season. He has pitched 36 and two-thirds inning. He has given up 31 hits, 17 runs, 15 of them have been earned. He has struck out 41 and walked 13. He has 3 saves on the season. So we'll learn more about him coming up at the top of the hour. Rob, let's start that process of trying to get somebody on the show that watched him a little bit more closely than you and I have. But, I mean, the Royals have made it very clear what they are looking for in the trade deadline. I would be very surprised if they made another trade. I mean, they've made 3 trades now in the last 2 weeks, and they have all been relief pitchers. Now, maybe they surprised me, but We kind of thought that the Royals were going to make one more move. If you had asked me, I probably would have guessed that it would have been a bat, but they were linked to a couple of pitchers, so it made sense. When you look at this team right now, there is some uncertainty in the eighth or the ninth inning, and you would have to think that when you make this trade, you feel like you're getting a little bit of certainty on the back end of this thing. I mean, this guy, just doing my quick research, sounds like this guy could be the closer for the Royals by the end of the week. You're a little bit dismayed with the James MacArthur experiment. Maybe you're ready to go in a different direction. You throw Urseg in that equation. So maybe that's it. I want to learn more about this pitcher. We're going to try to have somebody on from Oakland so we can get a little bit more clear picture on who he is. But if you missed it, the Royals have made a trade. I have not seen what they have given up. The moment that I see it, I will share it with you guys, at least what the Royals have given up. But the Royals acquire Lucas Urseg. I hope that's how you pronounce his name. He pitches for the Oakland Athletics. This is courtesy of Jeff Passan of ESPN. He sounds like he is a back end of the bullpen guy. He also just sounds like he is a swing and miss guy, and they just have not had a lot of those pitchers on their team. They have not had a lot of guys that have swing and miss potential. It seems like they added one with Lucas Urseg. We'll get our guy Aaron Ladd set up here in a bit. Rob, I mean, you said this yesterday. You called it. I will give you your flowers here. Yesterday, I wanted to get Vern on the show, and you said, no, we don't want Vern on the show because I think the Royals are going to make another move. And look, lo and behold, the Royals, they made another move. They have picked up three separate relief pitchers over the course of the last 2 weeks.
I'm curious what the return is going to be on this last one, because you mentioned it. He is under club control until 2030, which is exactly what John Sherman told Vern they're looking for if they have to get rid of pieces. But, oh boy, if you're getting a guy who throws at that level and has the stats he does and is under club control for another 5-6 years, I imagine the haul the Royals gave up is going to be rather large. I have not seen anything come across, but this is a great move for the Royals, but it's going to be an expensive one.
And so we'll certainly see what the price tag is. The moment that you see something, please let me know. I've not seen what the Royals have given up. All I know is that it's been confirmed by basically everybody that covers baseball. I just saw Aaron Rodgers tweet this. I just saw Mark Feinstein. I just saw him tweet this out as well. Obviously didn't need any confirmation if Jeff Passan puts that out there. I believe that Jeff Passan is the best baseball reporter in the world. I look to my right. My man here, I can tell you just came from work. I've never seen you wear this red 41 action polo until just now. I can tell they had you out there working, didn't they?
Yeah, we were shooting a promotional kind of little commercial today.
What are you guys shooting a promotion for? For preseason football?
We are. Some of the preseason games, the first and the third preseason game, are actually going to be on 38 The Spot, our sister station. Yeah, Olympics. And I think the third game is during the Democratic National Convention.
Oh, you definitely ain't replacing that.
So those games will be moved over. So we are they had us moving.
Shucks, I don't know what people are going to do if they can't watch Chiefs and Bears with no Patrick Mahomes and no Caleb Williams. I mean,
you know yourself, you would run to X and say, oh my God, I can't believe they're pushing Patrick, the reigning league MVP, to a sister station.
You think I would do that?
Well, the thing is, you can't. Oh gosh, I'm really getting in trouble.
No,
here.
Go ahead. I want to hear it.
You know, 38 The Spot's actually not on YouTube TV or any of those things.
Oh, that's, man, so how am I going to watch it?
Okay.
I got to go. How am I going to watch the game? What am I going to do?
You know how you like to do with your platform, too.
Aaron,
you'll
can
run
you tell
X.
me how can I watch the third Chiefs preseason game? You're telling me I don't have an answer in my home? You're telling me I got to pay for the subscription. Is it going to be on NFL Network? How am I going to watch this? This is serious. You signed up to be the spokesperson here. You could have left this alone. Whatever you say right now, you represent 41 News.
Go get some bunny ears.
I know you
used to use those back in your youth.
You know what? I'm not that committed to watching
with
the last
aluminum
preseason
foil
game
on there.
I'm not that committed.
You don't want to see Carson Wentz get first team reps?
I didn't want to watch Carson get first team reps with the Colts. I barely wanted to watch him get those with the Eagles.
Chris Oladokun controlling the offense?
Yeah, I didn't want any of those things.
Y'all watched week 18.
Who did?
You. You didn't watch Chiefs Chargers last year?
It was on the top TV. It wasn't on the bottom TV.
It was one
with
of the
sounds.
Options.
It wasn't. It didn't get the bottom TV with the sound. No, it was on there somewhere. It definitely didn't get the bottom TV. You've seen the TV setup. You know the Chiefs Chargers week 18 with Chase Daniels starting. That ain't getting the bottom TV.
Look, just have it on. As somebody who works for KSHB 41, your home of the Chiefs, you just have it on. We don't care if you're actually watching.
Right now, Aaron Ladd joins us in studio. Aaron, I want to get your thoughts on this. As you know, the most respected man in sports media here in the Kansas City area. Yeah, number one.
Thank you.
Number one with a bullet point.
Appreciate that.
The Royals made another trade. This is the third relief pitcher they have inquired in the last couple of weeks. You know, the Royals out here making moves. Yeah. They're making moves, Aaron Ladd.
But they're staying true to themselves. Like J.J. Piccolo told the media 3 weeks ago, like, we're going to acquire players who not only help us this year, but help us in the long run. Like, they understand that you cannot mortgage your entire future based off this season. Yes, they're ahead of schedule. Yes, they're playing well. Bobby Witt Jr., I listened on the way in, is ascending, and considering you're calling him the best player in baseball now.
He's in the conversation.
If Shohei Ohtani was healthy, it would be him. But
I don't disagree with you.
Back to what the Royals and their moves. They want guys who are going to be here for a while, and they want guys that are going to be a part of the run here. They're not just going to mortgage everything to go all in on what it looks like this year, because we're in agreement that it's probably going to be a wild card route if they make the playoffs this year. It's not going to be a division run. So why not acquire guys who are going to be helpful when you can charge up, your young guys are ready, and everybody's pushing in the same cylinder for the division and a few years later? I like the moves.
I don't want to paint it like I know a whole lot about this guy, because I didn't even know this guy
existed. You pronounce his name right.
That's not, how do you pronounce his name? It looks like Urseg. It looks like Urseg to me. That's what it looks like. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But that's what it looks like
Urseg.
To me. Yeah, E-R-C-E-G. That looks like Urseg to me.
They need bullpen help. They also need a bat. That was the one move that I was waiting for.
I don't think they're getting a bat. What I think they needed in the bullpen, and what this guy sounds like based on what you read, they needed a swing and miss guy. Like, they don't have a guy. They don't have a guy that can come in a big spot and get you a strikeout. They don't have a guy that if it's a runner on first and second with one out, they don't have a guy that you think can come in there and throw some gas and get a couple of guys out. So far this season, he has 41 strikeouts and 13 walks. That's the kind of guy that they need. Yesterday, at least from what we heard, at least with Michael Lorenzen, it sounds like he is more of a pitch-to-contact kind of guy, not really going to blow past you. They needed a little bit of balance on the other end. So just my early reading, I mean, this happened 5 minutes ago, looking at the numbers. This is the kind of relief pitcher that they needed and the one that they were looking for. A guy that can give you a little bit more gas out of the bullpen, and a guy that you also have. I mean, they have this guy under club control up until they move to a new stadium.
First to breaking news in Kansas City Sports Radio.
Royals not done. Per Ken Rosenthal, the Royals are also acquiring a shortstop. They are acquiring Paul DeJong from the Chicago White Sox.
Okay.
So the Royals are now adding a utility infield type bat as well as a reliever, as Paul DeJong is now coming over from the Chicago White Sox.
Do you think he plays today against the White Sox? That would be kind of cool if he does that.
You think he's sad on the way out of the clubhouse today?
No, I think
today?
He probably skipped. I think he couldn't wait. Please get me out of here.
You think he was dapping guys up and he was like, oh, man, I just really wanted to finish it out with y'all this year, man. Like, we were really building towards something.
I'm sitting here looking at the text line, and someone on the text line says, CDOT, they made another trade. They got a bat. And then, you know, I did my Googles on, is it Paul DeJong or is it Paul DeJong? God.
You are really bad at pronouncing. You couldn't even get Annie Rodgers right. You called her Ann.
How would you pronounce this gentleman's name?
You never watch baseball? Paul DeJong?
The White Sox? No, I'm not watching them in my free time. No.
The team the Royals plays the most.
I watch when the Royals are hitting. You know what? I don't need to watch when the White Sox are on offense. Do you want to know how this guy is hitting this year?
I don't think that matters because he's not going to start.
You just want me to read it to you? Just want me to read it to you. Yeah. He is hitting .228. He has a .275 on-base percentage, and he is slugging .430. So I'm happy they got a bat. I hope that this is a bat that I hope. I don't know if this was worthy of the breaking news sounder is what I'm saying. Now that I'm doing a little bit of my Googles here, I don't know if this guy is worthy. I mean, he's a career .229 hitter. I don't know if that was worthy of the breaking news sounder.
But where the Royals are, they're not shopping for starters. They're not spending starter money. You know how sometimes you go to the store and you're like, I need a shirt, but I'm not going to get a designer shirt. I'm going to get one that's in my price range. The Royals have a price range and they're sticking to it right now. J.J. Piccolo said himself, he wants people who are under long team control. I don't know what DeJong's contract is. But, I mean, for the price that they're willing to spend and what they're willing to give up, a utility infield bat that can come in and give you a good pinch hit AB, be a good quality guy in the locker room, sounds like he's got postseason experience as well. Why not?
I mean, he's better than Nick Lofton.
That's a low bar.
It's the bar that we're trying to clear.
That's fair. I'm not. I want to be clear. I'm not down on the move. I just don't know if this qualifies as you made a deadline move. The Ursae guy, that's a deadline move. You've got 4 years of club control. We think he's going to impact this team. This guy, Paul DeJean, or however you pronounce his name, this man has played for four different teams in the last 13 months. I don't know if he qualifies as a deadline move. He's just a guy that you got on the roster. Then, yeah, maybe he's your 24th, 25th guy. He gets in a couple of spots. He's certainly a veteran presence, played 8 years in Major League Baseball. My only point is he's not worthy of the breaking news signer. We don't need to get a guest on to talk about this individual. I don't need to learn more about him. I can see the numbers. He's hitting 228 this season. I don't need to talk about him. I would like to learn more about the reliever they just got.
They're not done. I wouldn't be surprised if they made one more move.
You think they got another move on him?
It seems like they make a flurry of moves. Like, think back to the offseason.
I mean, this is the fourth one they've made in 2 weeks. That's a flurry.
JJ threw a lot of darts at the dartboard. You look at the first one, you say, Garrett Hampson, really? Is that... Okay, but if you put it next to Seth Lugo and you put it next to a Hunter Renfro and they play together against an ascending Bobby Witt Jr., it looks a little different. So, yeah, if you look at just Paul DeJong by himself, you get the little C-dot stank face. But you give it some time. I would not be surprised to see one more move.
Okay. I mean, I'm happy with what they've done so far. I don't have any issues with what they've done so far. This is just this move right here to pick up this guy is just it's a low-tier move.
Sure.
I would say the three bullpen moves that you made, that moves the needle. Like, this Ursae gentleman, he might be their closer at the end of the week. Mm. Just based on the uncertainty that they have right now, when you got him in the mix, you got Zerpa in the mix, there is a chance that you just traded for your closer. That's a legitimate move.
You don't like James MacArthur in that role anymore?
Not the way it's gone the last 10 days or so.
That's the tough part about the deadline, too. And I was actually in the dugout. I know you give me a lot of crap for not covering the teams. I'm in the dugout talking with Matt Cotrero, and he's like, teams have basically the 10 days or the three series or the 2 weeks after the All-Star break to decide, are we in or are we out? Are we going for this thing or are we going to sit back? How are we going to play this? And the Royals, as we've mentioned in this conversation, it's a very delicate balance. You can't mortgage away your future for this year when it really seems like you're not going to be a championship contender. You're a playoff contender, yes, but are you pushing for a pennant this year? No. So you collect guys and you collect things that are going to help you build for the future.
I'm looking at DeJong a little bit more here. He has 14 doubles. He has 18 home runs this year, 41 RBIs. I mean, somebody had to drive in runs for the White Sox. I mean, you know what? Maybe this move is a little bit better than I think it is. I was thinking about giving this move a D+. You know what? This move might be a C-. This might be a C- move from the Royals, which is fine. I don't mind that because I'm assuming the Ackman call is very young.
I also give a little credence to there being a vet. Like, you got to have some salty guys who have been around a little bit alongside your ascending team of young guys who are supposed to be the next in the future of your franchise. You got to have some guys that have been there. One of the big critiques that I had about the Royals and their pushing for a championship is they haven't played playoff baseball since 2015. The only person on this roster who's played serious playoff baseball in Kansas City is Salvador Perez. So, you need guys who have been in those tense moments that the 90 feet at a time and every strike matters and that kind of thing. The game changes in those moments, and you know that. So, yeah, bring in some guys who have done it before and won at a high level.
So, if you guys are just tuning in, the Royals, they have made two trades over the course of this segment. I mean, that never happens. They made two trades here in the last 25 minutes or so. The first trade, they acquire Lucas Ursae. He is a relief pitcher from the Oakland Athletics. They also pick up Paul DeJong, who currently plays for the White Sox. So now he can just walk to the visitor's locker room. Maybe we'll see him. Probably don't see him today. Could see him tomorrow in a Royals uniform. I wonder how often that happens. A guy just gets traded right down the hall, you know? This would be like right now if you got traded from 41 to just Channel 9 News. You know what I mean? It's an outright trade right now. You for Jackson Kurtz. Just a trade right now.
The league is vetoing that one. That's not fair.
I know. I mean, 41 got fleeced. I know. They got fleeced on a deal. I know. I can't believe it. I can't believe 41 out here. Somebody should have turned on. Somebody had a chance to veto that trade. You know, when you make a bad trade in fantasy football, somebody's stepping in. No,
They don't know any better.
You can't trade Amon-Ra St. Brown for Sky Moore. Come on now. This is collusion going on. That's what would happen in your league. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue to talk about the breaking news. The Royals have made a couple of trades. There's a couple of other things that I would like to ask. We got Aaron Ladd in studio, and you know what? We'll play your open on the other side. Keep
there
it right
we
here.
Go.
It's the drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.